Are you all excited to be here on the 4th of July?
Yes.
Amen. All right. So as Paul was mentioning, and I'll just show this to y'all real quick, everything that I'm discussing today is from one of these manuals. It's all taken from there. So nothing that I say is going to be overly surprising if you are familiar with this manual. Now, none of you are. But that's why I'm here today, because we're going to talk about it. So this morning, we're really going to be talking about a couple of things, and they're the keys to recovery. Okay? The keys to recovery. Now, we are going to be moving quickly because I want to get y'all out of here by like 1 o'clock. So whoever's keeping time, just flag me down when it gets close to 1. And we should be done. Because there's a lot of stuff we actually got to cover. But before I get to that, I just want y'all to know that the ministry that I run, it focuses on veterans and first responders and their families. That is not all that the ministry will do as it grows and expunges here in the Poto area, but that is the primary focus as we start off today. So, why? Well, the reason is pretty simple. Statistically speaking, we have a higher average of post-traumatic stress in whether it be combatants, our first responders, our doctors, our counselors, our police officers, our firefighters. They have higher instances of post-traumatic stress. And that's because the things that they deal with on a daily basis is stressful. It is very, very stressful, I would assume, to run into a burning building. It's very, very stressful as a doctor to watch one of your patients become very ill and try and save their life. So we deal with stress. And that stress sometimes turns into trauma. And typically, 1 in 5 Americans will suffer trauma at some point in their life. 1 in 5. To the point where Tim back there is going to give you some prescriptions. And that's just the truth of the nature. 1 in 5 people will become so traumatized that they will have to have some sort of pharmaceutical intervention to cope. Now, I know I just lost like almost all of you guys because you're like, there is no correlation to my life whatsoever. But each of us has suffered trauma. Whether it be the few that have served in combat, I look around this room and I know that there are some here that have. All of us who participate in life. Life's not exactly the easiest of things that we get up each morning and tackle. Or even loss-related trauma. You know, even this body, this church, has suffered traumas. From lower attendance and contributions, to losing members of our body to other callings and works, or simply being called home during the pandemic to be saints. Our world is filled with trauma and heartache. I mean, look at our prayer list. Now, would it be fair to say that we're all kind of familiar with trauma? All right. Well, there's good news for all of us. There is recovery and abundant recovery through Christ Jesus. If you're willing to work the steps. There's like 10 of them in this book, but we're only going to do 3, I promise. Well, kind of, I only promise. All right. If you have a pen and a piece of paper, I want you to write these down. If not, go back and listen to this a couple of times. They say if you hear it 3 times, it'll stick with you. If you hear it 7 times, it becomes second nature. So go back and listen to this a time or two and work on these couple of keys or couple of steps, if you will, to recovery. So the keys to recovery, key number 1 is, what happened to me and where is or was God? Can anybody tell me why I use the word is or was God? That's right, because your relationship with God changes. Open up, if you will, to Jeremiah 29:11, which they should have on the screens behind me. I think we all know it, but let's read it together, and I mean actually together as a church. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now I'm going to pause it and say that I personally believe that every trauma is a unique lesson from God necessary to prepare you for your area of servicing or gifting in His body, so that you can have a testimony of His glory over your circumstance and your season. And the scripture supports that. So let me say that one more time. I personally believe that every trauma happens for a reason. And it's a unique lesson from God to help you in your area of servicing and gifting for His body. But Derek, why did God allow the circumstance to happen in the first place? Let's look at Psalms 109:21-27. And it says, "But you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust, my knees giving way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. Help me, Lord my God. Save me according to your unfailing love. Let them know that it is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it." It is my opinion that what happened, as I said earlier, is to prepare you for your area of servicing and gifting, and so that our Father could show His unfailing love for you and save you. So on to key number two. Like I said, we've got to move quickly because I've only got 1 hour and 15 minutes left. Who am I now? Because we all change, right? So who am I now, and how do I get back to normal? Flip all the way over to Hebrews 2:11, which says, "For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren." I read a second version of that, and I want to share that with you. Really, it's a version with some definitions put in and some clarifying statements. For both He who sanctifies or sets apart, because that's what sanctification is the setting apart, and those who are being sanctified or set apart are all one family. For which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, brothers and sisters. So it expounds a little bit upon that message, but it goes a little bit deeper, because from this scripture we can see that we are all one family and that we are saved through Christ Jesus, and He considers us brethren, brothers and sisters. So you are able to approach the throne of God just as David did and make your plea, because Christ calls you His brethren, and through His name all things are possible. Amen? But the question may strike you, how do I get back to normal? Quickly flip over to John 16:23-24. which declares, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." What does this have to do with quote-unquote being normal? I mean, what even is normal? When I was getting dressed this morning, I originally was not going to button up this shirt and had on a nice t-shirt and all of that, but I didn't want to look abnormal standing up here in front of all of y'all. So I buttoned the shirt up and tucked it in and tried to look kind of decent. The thing is that if you ask in his name, and you will receive that your joy may be what? Full. So I'm going to say that there is no old normal. You don't go through a traumatic event and automatically become Rendell again. You just don't. You don't go through a loss and just become Manny again. There's a new normal. Now, I will say that after a trauma or a rebirth, you never go back to your old self, because trauma and rebirth shapes a new reality for us. But there is a new normal. The new normal is the joy that you have in your relationship with the great physician. So, the one thing I will always tell you guys when I talk about this is there's one way to be saved. It's through Christ Jesus. I mean, that's it. That's the brass tacks of all of it. But the great physician can refill your life with joy after that loss, after that struggle, after that trauma, and let your new normal be the light that shows his glory. So, here's a silly question. Do you have the joy down in your heart? Do you? Or are you a little weary? A person who has faced trials and traumas and come out the other side a newer and stronger person, Christian, father, mother, brother, or sister, is what makes us unique. And many times more faithful, especially when he comes to restore us and our spirit. Why spirit? Because a restored spirit cannot be broken again. So once he restores that trauma, that little brokenness inside of you, you can't be broken the same way again. Because God's come and he's fixed that trauma. He's the great physician. The one person who can do it has done it and said, "It's finished." Finally, we're going to come to key number three. This one's my favorite, all right? And it's my favorite for a couple of reasons. But the question is where is the hospital? Well, let's go over Matthew 16:18. In which scripture states, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, I know that this passage is actually about the formation of the church, but I'm here to tell you that this body, this church, this ecclesia, or group of chosen ones, can be the same rock. A hospital, if you will, where broken men and women can come and get recovery from the things that haunt them most. Where the brokenhearted come and hearts are mended. But church, I have bad news. It's going to take all of us. There can't be any more sitting idly by or being lukewarm It's time, brethren, to deploy, to get busy. And you can do that in so many ways. And I really have to read these off because there are so many ways that y'all can get involved. It's silly. You can volunteer to cook, greet people at the door, hug, teach, watch the littles and provide childcare. Call attendees and just let them know that you're praying for them. You can pray for this ministry. You can support this ministry the ways that I just talked about, by cooking and greeting and hugging. I mean, some of these guys and gals haven't had a hug in years. Or you can do nothing, and that's perfectly acceptable. That's an action as well, right? If you choose to do that, though, I do ask that you do me one favor and you pray for me personally. Because it's a lot of ministry, and as our ministers will tell you, compassion fatigue is a real thing. And so I would just ask that you be in prayer for me. So we've talked about some keys to recovery, right? But I want to leave you with a few different thoughts. As a church, we need to recover. We need to pray for some healing. The past year has been tough. Even sitting in the pews or on the live stream. Imagine how hard it has been for our elders and deacons. Maybe they need some recovery. Think about our ministers and how impacted their message has been to a world who's scared to step into the light. Maybe they need some recovery. Think about yourself. Where you were at a year ago versus now. Think about the changes that you have made and the stress that you have been under. Maybe you need some recovery. Honestly, I think we all do. And after the invitation, I'm going to ask the elders that are here, come up and pray for our church. As we step into a new phase of communal restoration and recovery. If you would like to learn more about the other steps in the program or how you can become involved, please get with me, or better yet, come to the Wednesday night class on the dates that I don't have in front of me. And let me leave you with this thought, because, you know, we're getting really close to one. You are never beyond saving. No circumstance, trauma, or misstep can keep you from his stripes. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Because I cling to that old rugged cross. He asks that you confess and repent, and he will provide relief. If the invitation is for you, I ask why we stand and sing.